This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas. We're always encouraged to know that God is using the Ark to bless people's lives. If you have a story to share about how God's working in your life, submit your story by visiting blessing.thearkchurch.com.
Tonight, I'm going to share with you how your faith works, how to make your faith. Anybody ever feel like your faith isn't working? When I had cancer and I was really struggling, somebody gave me a little book. And the name of it was, Can Your Faith Fail? I thought it was the meanest thing anybody ever did was give me that book when I felt like my faith was failing. And I guess it was just going to, you know, but I read it. It was a Charles Capp book, and it inspired me that my faith cannot fail. Faith will never fail. But we need to learn how to move in faith. And so I'm going to look at a Bible story. I love Bible stories, don't you? I'm going to look at a real familiar Bible story. And from that Bible story, I want to share with you some energizing information about your faith. Because every person in this room has faith. Romans chapter 12 says, every single human being has been given by God the measure of faith. Now, what the difference is some of us grow our faith, exercise our faith, make our faith stronger, and other people never use it, and it atrophies, just like your muscles. So I want strong faith. How about you? Did you know even demons have faith? They believe that Jesus is real, and they even tremble. They're very emotional, but they're not saved because they don't have the kind of faith that we have that God honors and blesses. So let's look at this story. It's found in Mark chapter 5, and let's just start reading. Now there was a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she suffered many things from many physicians, and she spent all that she had, and she was no better, but she grew worse. I think it's interesting that he didn't name this woman. He said it was just a certain woman, could have been a certain man. We don't know her name, but her story is well known and has inspired millions. I think one of the reasons he said a certain woman is so we could identify with her, so I could identify with her, so you could identify with her. Because all of us have faced times in our life where we had issues. This particular woman had an issue of blood. Maybe your issue is an illness. Maybe your issue is something else, but we all have issues. And although she was a woman, she could have been a man. This was just a person with a problem. Here's the question. Is that you? Are you here tonight with a problem? I want to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you. And a lot of us would raise our hands. She had a condition that touched the very essence of her life. Everything in her life, this had become such an overwhelming problem to her that it affected every part of her life. And it had caused her to be considered unclean. She lived in a society that if a woman had an issue of blood, she was not allowed to go to the temple and worship. She couldn't have come to church. She was not allowed to go out in public. Women with an issue of blood were supposed to stay at home. I suppose they would allow her to go to the doctors because she'd been to many doctors. But she was considered a social outcast because of her situation. Now, I'm bringing all of that up so we can identify with her. Whatever your situation, you know, I imagine every person here is believing God for something. Marilyn Hickey often says, if you're not believing God for anything in particular, that's what you're going to get from God, nothing in particular. So you need to believe God, and you need to believe big. But once you believe, then you need to know, now, what should I do besides this? And that's what we're going to find out tonight. So let's just go over her. She had suffered physically. She had suffered emotionally. She needed a miracle. She had exhausted all human remedies for her illness. She had gone to every physician she could find. She had tried every treatment she could find, and yet she grew worse. She exhausted all of her money. She didn't have any money. She needed a miracle. How about you? Do you need a miracle tonight? I love miracles. You know the first ingredient for a miracle? Anybody here know the first ingredient for a miracle? Actually, it isn't faith, but that's a good answer. The first ingredient for a miracle is an impossible situation. You don't need a miracle if you don't have an impossible situation. And this lady had an impossible situation. So let's read on and let's discover. I'm going to read through the rest of the story, and then I'm going to go back and point out some really important things that we can learn about faith from this lady. So let's read on. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see this multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, listen to what he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Daughter, your faith has made you well. How often did Jesus say that to someone? Your faith has healed you. Your faith has restored you. Faith is a powerful, powerful thing. But what is it? What is faith? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, there's a scripture that we use to define faith. It's found in the book of Hebrews. And it says this in the Amplified Bible. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I like that. So this scripture tells us a couple of things about faith. Faith is assurance. Faith is evidence. You know, a lot of people say, I'll believe it when I see it. That isn't faith. Faith believes it before you see it. And because you believe it before you see it, you do see it. Faith calls it into existence. I like what the Living Bible says. It says it like this. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. You know, when I start out driving toward Houston, I don't see Houston right away, but I know it's up there. I've driven that road lots of times before. I know that at the end of that toll road, I'm going to see skyscrapers. Houston's there. I know that. If I'm coming in from Dallas, I should never go to Dallas. But if I'm coming in, maybe I can drive through Dallas coming from Arkansas. When I'm coming through Dallas and I'm coming toward Houston, I'm coming toward the Woodlands, I'm coming toward Conroe. I don't see Conroe, but I know it's there. I've been down this road before, and that's the way faith is. Faith is a confident assurance that God said it, and I can believe it, and it's going to happen. How did this woman develop enough faith to get her miracle? Well, let's talk about it. She had an issue of blood, so she's a perfect example of how faith works. Here's the first thing. She heard about Jesus. She heard about, somebody told her about Jesus. Maybe some girlfriend that came over to visit said, "You know, there is a guy. And everywhere he goes, sick people are healed. It's just amazing. Everybody that he prays for gets healed. It's too bad he's not around here." She heard about Jesus. That's the beginning. You know, people that never hear that Jesus heals don't get healed very often. People that never hear about the desire of God to prosper you and help you, they're not often believing God for prosperity because they don't know he wants to do that. It's important that we hear. Say, "I need to hear." The beginning of faith is hearing. She heard about Jesus. She heard about his power. And once she heard, listen, this is important, she chose to believe what she heard. See, it's a choice. Faith is a choice. God isn't going to force something on you. It's a choice. You choose. I choose to believe. I choose to believe for big things. If you don't want to believe for big things, well, you're not going to receive big things. But I choose to believe for big things. And let me tell you, in the 70 some odd years of my life, I've received a lot of big things. The Lord has done wonderful things for me, and a lot of it was because I chose to believe Him. When I was sick, I chose to believe He was going to heal me, and I'm well. And you know, all through my life, my mother taught me to believe. My grandmother taught me to believe. And I've learned to believe. I want you to believe also. And I want you to choose to believe for big things, not just little things, big things. She chose to believe what she heard. Now, how do we hear? We're told in Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we also have this little project. Pastor really is big on it, isn't it? He's always mentioning Project 345. How many of you read along with us in Project 345? Well, now that's pitiful. I mean, that is pitiful. Surely there, how many of you are reading along with us but just didn't raise your hand? Let me see your hand now. Look at that, three more. I'm just astounded. You know, you're not going to find out what God has for you if you never crack the book. And Project 345 is an easy way. You don't even have to read it. You can listen to it on your iPhone. But that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does that mean? It means that when I hear the word of God, my spirit is energized and my mind is challenged, and the Lord begins to reveal possibilities to me. And then I have a choice. So get in the word. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to get in the word. I mean, you really do need to get in the word. Start reading Project 345. The messages you hear at church. I hope this message inspires you to believe. I hope you leave here tonight and say, man, I can believe God for that. I really didn't know I could before, but I can believe God for that. I'm going to choose to believe God. Make that choice. Make that choice. Now, so she heard. She chose to believe. Here's the third thing. She thought of the possibility of healing through the touch of Jesus. She began to think about possibilities. You know, I don't have to stay like this. You know, maybe you're in a financial situation. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Now, you didn't get in that financial situation overnight, and it may take a while to get out of it. But I'm telling you, you don't have to stay there. If you're sick, you don't have to. Well, you don't know how sick I am. I don't care how sick you are. You don't have to stay there. Well, you don't understand. My marriage is in trouble. Hey, my marriage has been in trouble, and I am still with that wonderful man. He is still putting up with me after 52 years. But if you've been married more than 6 months, you've had some problems in your marriage because it goes along with relationship. But you got to make the choice. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to bring this before God. I'm going to receive. I make the choice and begin to let the Lord fill you with possibility. Possibility. Possibility thinking is really faith thinking. That's what it is. It's allowing faith to be cultivated in your heart. So she heard. She chose to believe what she heard. And she began to contemplate the possibilities. You know, if he came anywhere near me, I could sneak out when nobody was looking. I could mix myself in the crowd and possibly I could get to him and touch him. And as she began to say that, she got a clear picture in her mind of how it would happen. You know what that's called? That's called hope. Do you know what hope is? Hope is the object of your faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, the building material, what the stuff that God uses to make it. Faith is what God uses to form and make that picture in your mind that He's given you from what you've read in His Word. That's the reason I really teach people and encourage people. If you have a need, find a scripture that goes with your need. Find a scripture that goes with your petition. So when you go to God and you say, oh Lord, I need healing, and you said in your word, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed, then there's an assurance that comes to you. God said it, so He will do it. And He'll begin to give you pictures of yourself well. Let me give you an example of a friend. Many of you have heard Dodie Osteen's testimony of healing of cancer. Dodie Osteen had metastatic cancer of the liver, and she was given just a few weeks to live, no treatment. And she went home, and she was very, very sick. And she was trying so hard to believe. They'd prayed. They were believing for a miracle. She was trying so hard to believe. And she began to pray, Lord, what can I do to help my faith? And the Lord inspired her to find a picture of herself when she felt good. And she found a picture of herself sitting on a horse. They'd been horseback riding. And it was a time in her life when she just felt great. And she put that picture in a prominent place so she saw it every day, someplace she passed many times a day. And she said every time she passed that picture, she said, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to feel that good again. That was over 30 years ago. She's still alive, y'all. And she's feeling that good again. You got to receive a clear picture. You got to envision yourself. She saw herself pressing through the crowd and touching. You know, the scripture says, for she said, if I can just press through the crowd, I know there'll be a crowd around him wherever he is. When she thought of him, she thought that there's going to be a crowd around him. But if I could just press through this crowd, if I could just get to him and touch him, that's what it would take. And so she began to see that in her mind. She envisioned herself pressing through. That's what Dodie did. She envisioned herself well again. Well, you say, will that make you well? No, it's the power of Jesus that makes you well. But what that does is invigorate and inspire your faith. And that's what happened to her. She saw herself being healed, and that's called hope. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hope is the object of your faith. Faith has to have an object. And hope is the object. So it's very important that you get a clear picture of what you desire to receive from God and you base it on the scripture. Actually, my definition for hope is a picture in your mind of what you expect to receive from God based on the Word of God. Now, it's not just something you dreamed up. Well, what I want is a big old beach house. I just see God give me a big old beach house. Well, do you see him paying the taxes on that beach house and the insurance on that beach house? But, you know, if you could find a scripture for that beach house, I'll stand with you. But what I'm saying that God wants you to learn to get in the Word. Now, he did say that he'd give you a home. He did. He promised you a home. So if you want to believe God for a home, get in the Word and find scriptures to talk about, I'll give you a home. He will give you a home. There's people sitting right here. I could point at them, but I won't, that believe God for a home and they're living in it. I could point at myself and I believe God for a home. I confessed for a long time exactly where I wanted that home to be. I live in that home. I've lived in that home for 20 years. But you've got to get a picture in your mind of what you expect to receive from God. Now, that isn't easy when there are voices all around you saying something opposite to that picture. If you're struggling to be well and you're going to the doctor and the doctor is saying there is no hope for you, you are going to die, it's really difficult for you to get a clear picture of yourself well, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. If you're in financial trouble, it's real difficult to get a picture of yourself financially secure, but it's not impossible. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You need hope. You need hope. And you can get hope. You know, faith is a product of your spirit, but hope is a product of your mind. And in order for your spirit to work and bring forth the faith needed for the things you need in life, you got to have hope. Somebody wrote a song, a secular song. You got to have hope. Well, I won't sing it for you because I don't remember the words. But let me give you a scripture that tells you how God builds hope in you. This is in Romans 15, verse 13. Pastor referred to the scripture a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just going to quickly give you the steps of hope because your faith won't work without hope. And I want your faith to work. I want your faith to be active and energized. First of all, you got to know God is the God of hope. He has plans for you. His plans are good. The Bible is full of promises. I don't know how many promises. Somebody once told me how many promises, but they probably didn't count them all. There's probably more than they think. The Bible is full of promises. Every time I read Project 345, every time I read in the Bible, I find a promise. Every single day, I find a promise. They're everywhere. They're wonderful. God is a God of hope. He wants to fill you with hope. And this is how he does it. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. What is it? Now we have another word. Faith, hope, joy. How many words am I going to define for you tonight? These are all very important words. The word joy is not just a hoopy holler good time. Joy is not just feeling good. Hebrews 12:2 talks about joy. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. If you think about that verse, if you meditate on that verse, you're going to discover something about joy that you didn't know before. It's not just feeling good and laughing. No, when the joy was before, it wasn't behind Jesus. Wasn't even inside Jesus. Joy was before Jesus. Now, what in the world could have been before Jesus? What was it that Jesus saw? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, we're told in the Old Testament, one of the prophets wrote, "The joy of the Lord will strengthen you." So the joy of the Lord strengthened Jesus. But there was something before him that encouraged him to go through the cross, even though he despised the shame. You know what it was? It was the promise. It was the promise. He knew. God the Father said, if you're willing to die for humanity, on the other side of the cross is the resurrection. And on the other side of the resurrection is glory. And on the other side of the resurrection is salvation for the whole human race. Jesus said, I can do it. Whatever the pain, whatever the suffering, I can make it through because I can see on the other side. That's what joy is. Joy is the ability to look beyond your circumstances to the promise of God. And it'll cause you to be happy, but it's not an emotion. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what it says. May the God of hope fill you with joy. Just give you pictures of promises so you can look at them. And then the next line says, and peace. Where does that peace come from? In believing. When you believe, when God shows you a possibility from the Word, when God shows you a possibility and you see it and it's the joy of the Lord, then you have a choice. You can believe it or you can say, well, that might have worked for that woman, but it won't work for me. That might have worked for him, but that won't work for me. No, no, no. Joy comes when you believe it. I choose to believe it's for me. I choose to believe every promise in this book is for me. I choose to believe the Old Testament is for me, and I choose to believe the New Testament is for me. Every single thing I read about the goodness of God, I choose to believe is for me. And look what happens when that happens. May he fill you with joy and peace in believing, so you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens is he just begins to fill your mind with possibilities, with pictures, with hope. That's what happened to this woman. She heard about Jesus. She chose to believe. And hope began to rise in her. She began to see. God is a God of hope. And he will fill us with hope. Now then the other thing is faith speaks. Faith is not mute. Faith speaks. And this woman spoke. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. This woman spoke, and who did she speak to? She spoke to herself. For she said to herself, if I can press through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. In fact, one translation says she kept on saying to herself. Every day she'd get up and she'd say, you know, Jesus may come by today. And if I hear he's coming, I'm going to go out. And if I can press through the crowd and if I can touch his garment, I know I will be healed. I know it. I know it. That's what you got to do. See, we have to have the spirit. It's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. What does that mean? The life-giving. The spirit is the life-giving force. The Holy Spirit is a life-giving force. And what happens when we begin to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God over our situation, life comes to those words. Those words become active. Those words become energized. Those words energize us to believe, and those words energize the angels of the Lord to begin to perform in our behalf to bring forth miracles. There's a miracle in your mouth. You need to release it. You need to release it. You know, listen to this scripture again, because it tells us something else about ourselves. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I speak. You know, I can tell what's in your heart by what comes out your mouth. I can tell what you believe by what you say. I can tell, well, you know, pray for me. Pray for me. I hope God will help me, but I don't know. It's bad. It's real bad, and it's getting worse. What's happening? You're speaking what you believe. You need to step back, and you need to get in the Word and get a different confession. You need to change those words. You need to keep saying, keep speaking possibility faith and not depression and defeat, because you energize your problem with those kind of words. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Confessing the Word over your situation will cause a picture to begin to form in your mind. You will begin to expect something. That picture is called hope. Faith is very powerful, but it must have an object to direct itself toward, and that object is hope. So what are you hoping for? What are you confessing? This woman spoke to herself. The most important person you will ever speak to is yourself. You believe your own words more than anybody else's words, so start speaking the Word. We must speak to our mind. We must speak to our emotion. We must speak words of faith. Listen, I talk to myself all the time. My husband thinks I'm a little insane because I talk to myself so much. But a lot of times I'm encouraging myself. Believe. God is going to help me. God is going to encourage me. God is giving me peace. Just be calm. I say to myself real often, stay calm. We need to talk to ourselves. Speak words of life. Like this lady, we need to constantly speak to our mind and our emotion. And as we speak, the Word of God will begin to penetrate and begin to dissolve unbelief and fill us with faith. We will get that picture of what we expect to receive of our miracle. Not only will we get it, but listen to what happened. Her words compelled her to action. She heard he was coming. Now, they said, now you probably won't get to talk to him. He's not really praying for people. We understand that he's going to pray for somebody that's sick, and he's going real fast because this person is real sick. And it's a real important person with him. So probably you won't even get near him. But that didn't stop her. She left her house. She went outside. She found the crowd. She pressed through. She pressed through. She did what she heard herself say. She did what she saw in her mind, that possibility, she actually did it. She pressed through the crowd and she touched him. And you know what the result was? She got her miracle. Let me give you one last thought from this story. It says that Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" This is such a powerful thought. Faith makes a demand on the power of God. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, I don't know if you know this, but Jesus confined himself to humanity. He was God, but he really didn't know who touched him. He just felt power leave. He said, I know somebody touched me, and they touched me with a purpose because I felt power leave myself. And the woman felt it too. She knew she'd been healed. She felt it. She actually felt it. Her faith made a demand on the deity and the power of Jesus and pulled out of him just what she needed. Do you know your faith can do the same thing? Your faith can do the very same thing. Now, his disciples said, Master, your people are all around you. What do you mean somebody touched you? He said, oh, no. Virtue. I felt virtue. And the lady, fearing, came and bowed at his feet, and she said, it was me, Master. I touched you. I believed that I would receive, and I touched you. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. And you know what? Your faith will make you well. Your faith will open a door of possibility. Your faith, you know, when you begin to believe God, God begins to move in other people around you, turn the hearts of the king, turn the hearts of your employer, rearrange things. He looks ahead and he makes provision for people who are believing him. I don't know about you. I want to believe him. Bow your heads. Father, thank you so much for faith. How wonderful that you've given us the ability to believe you, to confess your word, and to actually receive from you miraculous power to meet our needs. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I pray that if there's one person in this room that's never found you as Lord and Savior, they will not leave here tonight until they have made you the Lord of their life. And if there's one person in this room that needs a miracle, I thank you, Lord. I believe right now that your miracle-working power is in this room. So I ask you, Lord, would you move by your power? Would you heal people that are sick? Would you give creative ideas to people who are in confusion? Lord, would you just move by your power and begin to direct our path so that every person here, as we leave here tonight, can begin to walk into a new dimension of power in our lives as we begin to exercise in our faith. And while your heads are still bowed, if you're here and you say, Billy, I have never made Jesus the Lord of my life, and tonight I would really like to do that, I'd like for you to pray with me. I'm not going to embarrass you and ask you to come forward. We're just going to pray a prayer. It's amazing, isn't it, that you can receive eternal life through a simple prayer. But if that's you, slip your hand in the air. I want to pray for you. All over the building, I'm looking. You may be here and you say, I know I'm born again, but I've been away from the Lord. And I would really like to rededicate my life tonight to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Slip your hand in the air. I'm looking across the room for those hands in the air. Okay, we're going to pray. And even if you didn't raise your hand, well, if you pray this prayer with us, you can be born again. You can be restored to fellowship with the Lord. So let's pray together. Everybody praying with me. Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. Thank you, Father. Now, if you need a miracle and you're not embarrassed to raise your hand, I just slip your hand in the air. If you need a miracle, I want to pray over you tonight. All over the, just hold it up for a minute. Father, you see these hands. You said if any two believers would agree touching anything we ask, you would do it for us. So here we all are, and you know the need in every one of these lives, so I call a miracle to them. I ask you, Lord, to give them a specific word, the specific scripture to stand on for their miracle, and empower them to get it in their mouth and in their mind. Give them hope, Lord, and give them the explosive power of God to bring about a miracle in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.